Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to today's To Be show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Barbara Hofmeister, and I'm your host for this week's To Be show. Today we're coming to you live, as we do every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. But today is special because I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, instead of my forest retreat in Germany. I'm staying with friends here. I think my friend David is on the line. Are you still on the line, David? Well, he seems to have gone back to work. Well, anyway, I'm staying with friends here in Atlanta, Georgia. They invited me for Thanksgiving, and it will be my first American Thanksgiving. So that should be exciting. So why should you listen to the show? What is the To Be show going to be about in the next 30 minutes? Well, I can tell you that today you are in for a real treat. And I suggest that you buckle up your seatbelt because we have an amazing guest waiting for you. Well, maybe not quite waiting because she hasn't come on yet. Oh, there she is.
You hear me, Barbara?
Oh, hi, Edith.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
I was starting to get worried, you know. Let me talk a little bit. Let me introduce you a little bit.
Okay.
Because the topic of today is nothing less than how to overcome the challenges that we all have in our lives and still live a happy and life and full of drive, no matter what the circumstances. And the guest that we have on the show today is a very special example of that very, very special lady. She's been there, she's done it, she's done about everything that you can imagine, and probably a little bit more. She's been facing every challenge head on, so be ready for a very special person. And why do I emphasize special? Because our guest is so bubbling with ideas, so bubbling with plans for the next 45 years of her life, that you shouldn't be surprised if she takes over as soon as I hand her the microphone. Edie, our guest for today is Edie Rater, and Edie has had 5 books published and translated into 14 languages. And Edie, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, I started out in the healthcare field as an occupational therapist, psychotherapist. I had a talk show on ABC. I was a college professor. Barb, I just get so bored with life and myself that I don't know if it's ADD or if it's just out to experiment with the world. But now I'm really focused, and really for the last 40 years have been doing a lot of motivational keynotes throughout the world, and also, you know, sales training, leadership training, and change management. But the real exciting thing that I'm doing now and is my true passion is a character building program for children. The first of the series is I Believe I Can Fly, and it's a complete system of thinking for children. I can honestly say, other than a parent's love, it is the best investment anybody can make in a child, and it will be ready for the holidays and Christmas giving. I got to put that in there, but that is exciting to me because, Barbara, my mission is to change the way the world thinks one mind at a time. I will still work with, you know, associations and corporations, but I got to tell you, the real way to change the way the world thinks is to get into the minds of children. If you give the right message, the right time of development, in the right place, it can make a difference. And I think this world needs a little bit of tune-up.
No, it definitely does make a difference because, I mean, we have given a lot of wrong messages to our children in the past. And it doesn't matter which culture you come from. I'm German, I'm European, you're American. Doesn't really make a difference. Our educational systems have been a little bit off, whether it is in the home or it is in the schools or in the colleges and even in the universities. And here in America, you are a bit advanced compared to Europe because you already teach them entrepreneurship, for instance. You teach them free thinking. You teach them how to become successful in their own right. In Europe, we don't do that very much. Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if we do anymore, and that's why I'm so committed to this program. because I think we have actually taught and rewarded mediocrity in recent years in this country. Mm. You know, there's a bit of and God bless people that have to use the welfare system. You know, it's in place for a good reason. But as a therapist, I've seen a lot of abuse of it where people have learned to work the systems, and that isn't what they were designed for. And so a lot of it is abused, and we actually have a horribly high dropout rate here. So, you know, and the interesting thing, Barb, I was telling you a little bit about MasterStream, this method that is, it's an influencing tool for change management, whether it's sales or leadership. And it all has to do with, you know, that people pay attention to where their tension might be. And I think one of the blessings, and I hate to say it this way because I know people have lost jobs and houses, but I always try to look at the positive in everything and where the light at the end of the tunnel might be, is that it has shaken people up and it will change some of their habits, which we have needed to change. But in many communities, we have a 50% dropout rate. And actually, in some cities, it's more than that. It's pretty bad. It's like 75%. So I think, you know, like the rise and fall of different cultures like Rome, and, you know, GM almost went out of business. I grew up in a car dealership that sold GM. I thought I was part of God's plan because my parents sold GM. Sears, Kmart. We've seen companies rise and fall, and many have become extinct. Because if there isn't a certain amount of challenge and tension, the natural inevitable side effect of mastery is apathy. And I think the United States actually is suffering from some of that right now. So we need a boost in the arm. We need something that awakens us once again.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I always call it decadence, and you can see it in all the ancient cultures. They have had an up until they were in a very high, very successful culture, and they stayed up there on this plateau for a while, in some cases several hundred years, and then the decadence set in, and they went down so deep. I love traveling, as you know, and in Egypt, for instance, you can see that. I mean, what an incredible culture 5,000 years ago, and look at today. That is... You know, and you can see it in a lot of other countries also in the old world from the history. And that is what happens today, because we've had it good, you know, for many, many years now.
Yes.
And we do have challenges, but we don't know how to face them anymore. We don't know how to handle them. And you are one of the people that I definitely admire because you've had your challenges lately and you just, you know, go for them head on and look at the positive, look at the learning that you get out of it, and that is so wonderful.
Well, you know, and the other thing, Barb, is it's easier to climb the ladder of success than to sustain it, because it is human nature to rest on our laurels. So climbing it, while the challenge is there, and that's the problem too. Too many managers, I think, are too wimpy, and they take away the challenge, and we give kids A's even though they don't deserve it, and we want everybody to feel good, and so everybody's, you know, addicted to feeling good, even if it's taking drugs or whatever, and we've lost the value and the understanding of what comes with struggle, like my mother did through the Great Depression. She's almost 100 and still going strong, but she has that resilience that I think, you know, we get soft. And so it's sustaining, whether it's personally or our corporation or our small business that we might have. Sustaining success is a lot harder than achieving it.
That is very true. That is very true. So what is a suggestion that you would give people, you know, if they're struggling at the moment, because there's so many people in pain, there's so many people out of jobs, there's so many people... You met Brian the last weekend, and he told me that he used to have 100 people working for him, and now it's just a few because jobs are, you know, rare and long time in between. I mean, he's doing fine because he's moving forward. He had a new idea. He started on it. He's already successful in it. But most people, they give up, you know. They just wait for wonder to happen or for something, yeah, somebody to hand something to them, but that's not what we're all about. We can all overcome that, can't we?
Well, yes, and here's one of the things. I just wrote 10 anthologies, and the sixth book will be coming out this month. But you know what? Those are two examples. Let me just share this. I think this is an example of what others can learn by in terms of how I took the bull by the horn, so to speak. There's a book called Life Choices, and I have a chapter in it called When Opportunity Knocks. Do you mm-hmm. open the door or complain about the noise? In fact, Barb, any of the people that you have in your tribe here, if they email me at edie@raether.com, I will send them my chapter of that book, and it's called When Opportunity Knocks. And you know what? It's all about perception. You know, if you perceive somebody knocking on the door as an annoyance, you know, you're going to ignore it. And if you look at it as an opportunity, you will open the door and welcome it in. And that's why more millionaires were made during the Great Depression, and they will be made again during this crisis, because it's all about perception. And one of the things that I shared with the group where you were at with me this past weekend is I've lost millions of hard-earned dollars. I had no sugar daddies. In fact, the last husband, after we were divorced, I caught embezzling because he knew my habit of not checking my bank statements. I mean, he knew my weaknesses. But one of the ways I lost was a lot in real estate, and I built so many times, and I've been just involved with the wrong people. And then one day I thought, you know what, I'm going to make back all the money I lost, and I'm going to make more, because I'm going to share with other people where I went wrong, how I was scammed, how I was taken, and everybody wins. For $20, they will avoid the heartaches, the headaches, and all of the financial losses that I had. It'll be the best investment they can make, and I will compensate for my losses, because I'll get, so I'm taking a crisis and turning it into an opportunity, and I think mm-hmm. that, it's all about how we think, Barb. It's all a matter of how we perceive things and looking at the opportunity. Remember, crisis is opportunity in disguise. That if we're always believing there's a pony somewhere in that manure pile, by golly, we will find it.
That is very, very true. I also believe there's opportunity in a crisis, always is, and you're right. There were more people that became millionaires in the Great Depression here in America, but also the same in Europe. I mean,
exactly.
we had more people that come out of each crisis, and we had several in the last 30 years. There were more people that became rich and really successful in the crisis, during the crisis, and just after it, than in any other time. That is definitely true. And we do have to take up the opportunities that are available, and there's loads of them out there. Isn't it a matter of mindset, a matter of attitude, and like you said, a matter of perception, if you are open for those opportunities?
You know what? It's interesting, because you don't have my flow chart of thoughts I wanted to cover, and that was the next one. And that is being, it's funny, you're in sync, honey.
Yeah.
It's about being a possibility thinker. One of the examples I give in a lot of my programs is the example of George Soros. And, you know, he had a team that made him billions during the bull market. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He had staff that, you know, without them, he would have never made the money that he made. When he anticipated the bear market was coming on, Barb, what he did was he fired the very people that made him all the money. And people thought he was nuts. I mean, why would you bite the hand that feeds you? And it was simply this, that he was afraid they wouldn't be able to shift their thinking. When you are making money in a bear market, and you can, I am making money, even though most people are losing now, but you have to shift your strategy. The bear market, betting and so forth, and investing is just the opposite of the buy low and hold that you might do in a bull market. And Soros was right, that the biggest problem is that people have to change. And it's hard. We're creatures of habit. And mm-hmm. so once you can change your thinking and understand that it's a different economic environment now. I mean, people shouldn't be selling their homes, and I'm trying to sell mine, unfortunately. I'm caught with my, caught with your pants down. But now is the time to be buying. It's like Keith said, he can buy a house in Atlanta for 50, 60% off. Those are the opportunities, but we have to be positioned for them. So I think, you know, Soros is right. The biggest enemy is changing a habit of thinking, and that is what's required because change has changed. The velocity of change has changed. We're living in a world where by the time we figure it all out and learn what to do to make it happen, it's already changed. Look at with internet marketing. Look at with the search engines. By the time somebody says, oh, I'm going to do meta tags, we find out that the real secret is getting articles and links to you and so forth. So you've got to be not a reactionary person, but really anticipating the change. Otherwise, you're going to be you'll be left behind in the dust.
That is very true. Today, things are changing so fast that you don't have time to sort of study it and analyze it. I was just talking this morning to my web designer that I'm supposed to finish one of my websites for the last 3 months. And they're from Ukraine, and I know them personally when I did my trainings there. And they're really nice people, highly qualified. But they've been analyzing until I'm paralyzed for the last three months. And today she tells me, oh, we need to change the strategy. And I said, stop. I mean, you know, this is taking too much time. This is, you know, things are changing all the time. We cannot discuss for 3 months each time we want to make a change. That is impossible. By that time, everyone has overtaken us, and I don't want that to happen. You know, I mean, you and me especially, we have a strong and important message that we want to get out to the world. We can't wait until people, you know, are ready to adopt the changes that are happening every single day.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's part of being a creative thinker. You've got to be a possibility thinker. And part of that is being visionary and creative. Let me tell you another story that makes that point. Years ago, there was a strike in between Chicago, Illinois, and it was really bad there and going down to Indianapolis, Indiana. And people were brutal. I mean, they had guns. They were shooting out tires of the truckers that were trying to get things through. And here's what somebody came up with. They had to get a product from point A, Chicago, to Indianapolis, point B, without getting killed. And what they did is they dressed up a man in a nun's habit, put him in a yellow school bus. Now, Barb, who shoots at a nun driving a yellow school bus?
No, and, I imagine.
You know, and they got it through. And so wherever you are, whoever is listening, know that that's, you don't have to be a Picasso to be creative. You got to be innovative and ingenious and how you're going to work your business. And that is just a simple example that if you really want to get the job done, where there's a will, there's a way. If you just have an open mind.
Yeah, and be proactive also. Instead of most people are reactive, they are waiting. And then they react to whatever is happening. But that's already too late. You have to be proactive, like you said, anticipate what is coming. Or at least try something out, you know, that is new and innovative. If it doesn't work, okay, at least you know that it doesn't work. You know, it's not something in the back of your mind where you say, I wish I had. And if I had done that, you know, 2 years ago, then today my situation would be totally different. Who knows and who cares?
Right. And it's a matter of knowing that all change comes from the inside out. I do a lot on neuro reconditioning. It's actually a method that John Azaraf has kind of termed that way. Mm-hmm. Some people refer to it as the laws of attraction, visualization, and so forth. But but it is so important to remember what, you know, the mind of men and women can conceive, the heart can believe, you will and shall achieve. You know, that was by Clement Stone years ago, but it is true today. We just repackage it and call it laws of attraction or different things. But to the degree that you are clear on your vision, you have to have that clarity. You then have to have the commitment, the conviction, and you'll get the desired consequence that you want. Just remember the four C's, clarity, commitment, conviction, and consequence, assuming it's the desired consequence. And, you know, it's a matter of really understanding what John calls the non-conscious mind rather than the unconscious. But on that deeper level, that when you change your mental software program, that's when things can happen. Because, Barb, you heard at the event we were at, there were people that had some very specific blocks. There were psychological blocks. You can play all the tapes and read all of the self-help books, but if you don't get rid of that block, and that's where you really have to get into understanding how to change your mental software, train your brain for a change, and things will open, they'll open up for you.
Yeah, definitely. I have experienced that, and I know from all my coaching clients and from my trainings that this is 100% true. A lot of people, what I noticed lately especially, is that a lot of people are thinking away from pain. You know, I mean, their motivation is away from the pain. Oh, everything's so bad. I don't have enough money. I don't have a good job. I don't have, you know, whatever they don't have. I don't have a partner or whatever it is. And they are concentrating on that negative thing instead of looking forward and concentrating on the possibilities, on the opportunities, like you said, because that is a different way of thinking. If you are always worried and always thinking of what you don't have, this is because our unconscious, non-conscious, or however you want to call it, cannot process the negative. So it just processes whatever you think about most of the time, which in this case is lack of money. And, you know, and that is the result you get, is no partner. Oh, my God, I'm alone. Yeah, you're going to be alone, you know. It's like if you want to stop smoking, you don't tell them, you do hypnosis, I know, you don't tell them don't smoke. You use other words that envision them so that they can see themselves as a non-smoker and see the benefits of being a non-smoker, which is a completely different way of looking at things. You know, you look at the good, at what you want, and not at what you don't want anymore.
Well, attention flow, or where attention goes, energy flows. And I always tell people, worry is a wish you don't want. Fear is negative goal setting. Whatever you're fearing, you're going to make happen. And so once you have that mind state, it's really a matter of then people have to learn to detach from what's happening around them. You know, it's kind of like Jeffrey Gittimer, the guy that wrote the Sales Bible, said, I interviewed him for my book, Winning, How Winners Think What Champions Do. And I remember him saying, you know what, Edie, I've been broke, but I've never been down. So, you know, even though you may not have a dime in your pocket, the environment, you may have lost your job, you cannot let that affect your psyche. He says, I've been broke, but I haven't been down. And it's that kind of resilience and bounce ability that sustains us through tough times and allows us to see the opportunities. There's another story from Winning. Let me share this one, Barb. I think it really makes the point well. I interviewed Bonnie St. John. She's also a speaker and author. And she was a African-American young gal in high school, I think it was, in California, L.A. area. She had cancer, and they cut off her leg. Back in those days, they didn't know what to do with cancer. They just cut it off. And a white gal with money. Now, she was poor, African-American, in one leg, a woman with two legs, lots of money, in white. This is back years ago. Came up to her and said, do you want to go skiing? Well, you know, she's looking at her one leg, and back then, people just didn't think you could ski with only one, obviously, not all the time. But listen to this. Less than a year later, Barb, she was in the Paralympics in Austria, skiing in the Paralympics. But what she said is there was a patch of ice, and just about everybody fell on the patch of ice. Half of them quit. The other half got back up. But the point is you never win a race unless you get back up. If you quit, you're guaranteeing failure. But she said she skied the fastest, but she didn't get the gold. And it's like, why didn't you get the gold? Because she didn't get back up as quickly. So it's not how many times you fall down. It is not only getting back up, but how can you shorten your recovery time? Whether you're going through a divorce, a lost job, whatever it is, I'm asking you not just to bounce back and recover, but shorten your recovery time. And Barb, you know, there were people in that group where I had met you that had lost their job, and it was the best thing that ever happened to them,
yeah,
because it forced them to think on another, more possibility, creative level. And they're going to make 100 times more.
Yeah. As soon as they get up and believe, start believing that that's possible, they will, definitely. I completely agree. You hear it over and over again by so many people, whether they have lost their job or even, you know, like in this case of the lady you were just talking about, they lost their health, or they thought they'd lost their health. They got up, they did something different, and suddenly life looks totally different. Totally different. I remember an interview with Lance Armstrong, the bicyclist, and before he became the Tour de France winner the first time, I think he's won it 7 times, but before he became the winner the first time, he had cancer, testicular cancer, which for a bicyclist, I mean, it's like, okay, this is it, you know. And he was number one in the world at that time, and the only race he still needed to win was that one race. And nobody believed he would ever, ever get back up again on the bicycle. And his chances were, I think, 40-60 to survive even. That's what his doctors had told him. And look at it. I mean, today he's won it 7 times. And he has a big foundation now against cancer and helping in research and everything, giving people hope again. And it is a matter because he was used to getting up. He got up fast and he fought it. He fought the cancer, he survived it and everything, you know, I mean, it made him into a legend. Mm-hmm. And there's so many examples of that. And it's unfortunately so many people, they have this fear, if I lose my little job, that they're not even 100% happy with. And that is what I don't understand. You know, they're not happy in their job and they're not making much money and they do have abilities outside of the work they're doing right now. And they can see that there are opportunities, but they still don't move because they are staying within their little comfort zone.
Exactly. And just remember that fear and faith are never compatible in the same heart. So to the degree that you are stricken with fear, you don't have the faith and hope to move you forward. And, you know, one thing I'd like to add before we close is there's I've been certified in this method called MasterStream that I just think is the most powerful influencing tool for coaching and sales training and so forth that I've seen in 40 years. But one of the things that the creator, T. Falcon Napier, has put together is something called the path to self-discovery. And I'd like to share that with your listeners because I think I would have prevented a lot of bad decisions I made. And number one is that, and he's Native American, so everything is an icon with nature. But the first is snow. Get the hard, cold facts. Do your due diligence. Right-brain people tend to just go with their passion. And you know, sometimes it's a little bit like playing Russian roulette. You win some, but you can lose some big ones. So the first is white, snow. It protects you like snow protects and covers the ground. Hard, cold facts. Number two is green grass. It is growth and goals. Determine and get clarity on your goals and your vision. The third one, and here's the kicker. It is the darkness of the night. It is the color black. It represents obstacles. And, Barb, what my problem has been and other people that are very optimistic, optimism is good, but it can also cause us to fall because we are so optimistic. We are blinded to the obstacles, and unless we deal with them and take care of them, we will trip and fall on them. And that's a right-brain trait. Left-brain people are very critical thinkers, and they will see them. So a lot of times it's good to team up with people or be in a mastermind group. The fourth is the sun, and that's where there's resolution and solution. And the last is red, which is the fire, and that's the passion. And how many times do coaches start the session by saying, what's your passion? That's good for just getting a feel of where you're going. But once you have that complete structure in place, then you feel it. Then you fuel it with the fires of passion and desire that propel propel you and make
we
it
are
happen.
Coming to really sorry Edie, but we're coming to the end. They're going to cut us off in about 10 seconds, so
okay,
I just want to thank you and our listeners, and it's Edie E-D-I-E at Rather, RAETHER.com. If you want the Opportunity Knocks chapter of her book, Edie will be very happy to have further conversations with you. I thank you so much, Edie, for being on the call today, on our show today. I thank our listeners. We will be on again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And I don't want you to miss that, because we have a personal development expert on there, Keith Matthews, and Keith will share his secrets of how he broke out of the corporate job to live his dream life. And I know him personally, and he does live his dream life. So I want to see you next week next Tuesday at 1 p.m., same time, same place. My name is Barbara Hofmeister. And you have been listening to the To Be Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thank you. Barbara, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. I think we did well. I thought it went well.
Yeah. Nice experience. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
It just kept flowing and stuff. Now, how can I hear it or get a copy, or how does that work?
As far as I know, you can download it from the radio, from the Blog Talk Radio, but I have to check that out. I think you can download it. So I have to check that out.
Okay, just give me an email on it, and then if you have any other questions, just give me a yell. And but it was fun. And before you get back to Germany, give me a yell before you leave the country.
Uh-huh, I will do that.
And
I will do that, Edie.
How are things going with the group? Are you getting a little more?
Shouldn't talk about that now, because the show is still on. It's not streaming. I think it's not recording anymore, but still on. So maybe we should have another conversation about that.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Well, this was fun, and
you
take
have
care.
My number, so whenever, you know, just give me a ring, and I will call you before I leave the country, definitely.
Okay, sounds good.
So happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now.